Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful stuff. At 13 minutes after the hour, 4 o'clock, we have Elder Carl Vajure on the line. Good afternoon, my elder.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Nah, please, brother. God is good all the time.
God is good all the time. Well, my elder, we've been saying that Jesus is coming soon for generation after generation. And for some reason, many of us still believe that his coming is just around the corner. Paul also used to think that it's around the corner. But how soon is soon exactly? And what signs should we be looking out for? This is what we want to determine in this conversation this afternoon. So what great signposts has our generation seen that point to the second coming of the Messiah?
Okay, my brother, you know, when Jesus' disciples, they asked him about the end of the what will happen at the end of time, he told them that, you know, while he could not tell them the exact date, they could recognize the signs or to see the signposts, as we're talking about, of the second coming. Just like the leaves, when they change color, it tells us that winter is coming. So changes will happen in the world, that Jesus tells us, that will give us a clue as to the nearness of his second coming.
Mm.
So when we look at Matthew 24, verse 6 to 8, there's things that Jesus highlights that are signposts of his second coming. But there's one thing in particular that I want to focus on. But I just want to read Matthew 24, verse 6 to 8. Jesus says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." Now, verse 15, Jesus says, "When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." So, my brother, war has broken out frequently in recent years. There's a lot of events that have happened regarding war, the overthrow of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan, the conflict between India and Pakistan, the United States invasion of Iraq, the conflict between Israel and Palestine, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. There's been many plagues, fires, floods, earthquakes that we can talk about. COVID-19 that broke out in Wuhan, China. There's been forest fires in Australia. There's been so many events, but that's not what I want to talk about today. For me, what stands out in my generation as a signpost is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2 that is specifically linked to our generation. And that's what I wanted to look at, because Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24 that we should study the book of Daniel and we should understand. And once we understand the book of Daniel, we'll know about the second coming. So if you allow me, can I continue?
Yes, please.
I just want to elaborate.
Please continue.
You know, we've learned in previous studies, Daniel chapter 12 summarized, King Nebuchadnezzar dreamt a dream of a statue, four different elements, gold, silver, bronze, iron, clay mixed with iron. These represented a timeline from 605 BC until the second coming of Christ. Those four elements represented four kingdoms that would rule this earth: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, then modern Europe. And Jesus says, you know, the Bible says, in the days of the kings of modern Europe, Jesus would come. Now, we are living in the days of modern Europe. And the greatest next event to occur in human history is the second coming of Jesus. It's a privilege to be living in our time, my brother. You know, when you look at the statue of Daniel chapter 2, it talks about the 10 toes, and then the rock will come and smash the statue. And in the kingdom of the 10 toes, which kingdom is that? That's modern Europe. It is the kingdoms of Germany, Swiss, French, the Italians, the English, the Portuguese, the Spanish. Those are the nations that rule Europe. We are living in that time. And God is saying that the time is near, the time is short. We need to open our eyes and see to say that, you know, though these world leaders have tried to defy God's word, but at the end of the day, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom. The rock of ages will break that iron, that bronze, that clay, that silver, that gold to pieces, and he will set up his kingdom on this earth. So we just need to look at the prophecies and see where we are in time. And we are living right at the edge of time.
Now, this statement that says coming soon. I'm wondering what exactly if I'm saying to you, my elder, I'm going to be seeing you soon. Surely you expect it to be soon. You're not expecting it to be in a few centuries from now. If I'm going to say I'm going to call you soon, surely you're expecting that soon to be soon. You're not expecting it to be happening in 5 months, in 18 months, in 24 months. When I say I'm going to be calling you soon, you expect me to at least be calling you in your lifetime, that is to put it worse. Because if I say I'm going to be seeing you soon, you don't expect that, well, it could be any time from your age until you're a grandfather in your 90s. No, that's not what you're expecting. No, I really need us to actually unpack this soon coming, because during the times of Paul, he believed that it would be easy in his lifetime. And he says, and we who are alive will be caught up. So he's quoting and actually penning down as though he will be living during that time. It has been many centuries later, and it is still saying soon. Is it not time that we change this, a phrase? Because it doesn't seem so, eh?
You know, what does Jesus really say about the exact time of his coming? You know, aside from the grand event and what it will be like at the second coming, we naturally want to know when it will happen. As you are saying, when is this soon after? We want to know so that we can be ready. You know, but the Bible is very clear. The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour of Christ's second coming, not even the angels in heaven. Only God the Father knows.
So effectively,
we
could be here for another 6,000 years then, if that's the case.
You know, the Bible tells us, what the Bible tells us is that we need to be ready at all times. And being ready means preparing our hearts, accepting Jesus as our Savior, and having that relationship with him through prayer and Bible study and growing the relationship with him, because you don't know when your probation will end. Your probation might end today. And the next conscious moment that you will have is at the second coming of Christ. So the Bible says, take heed and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. So why would God want to keep his timing a secret, even from his angels? For me, the answer is that when this will happen is not as important as what happens and why it will happen. So in the meantime, the Bible is telling us that what we must focus on is we have a calling of loving others, serving others, leading others to Christ, following Christ through his Spirit. And if God chooses not to reveal something in the Bible, that means it's not needed in the accomplishment of his plan of salvation. No, so once we, and if you have to know when the second coming is, then you are going to not prepare. You are going to wait just for that day, just a few days before it comes, for you to get yourself ready. But God wants you to be ready always. Live a life that shows that you are ready at all times, and you are reflecting God's character to a world that is full of darkness.
Okay. All right. Now, what important caution has Christ given to us regarding the timing of his return?
You know, just to mention something, my brother,
right.
That soon is not to mean immediately, but it means to say that Jesus is coming with urgency. So it could be any time, wherever God sees fit. But anyway, back to the question.
Hang on. Before you get to that question, I want to address what you just said. Of course, it says with urgency. Could it be that it's still urgent 3,000 years later? Is that still urgent?
You know, that's why I said when we started the conversation, when you look at the prophecies of Daniel chapter 2, the people in the time, the people that lived in the time of Rome, the time of the period where the disciples were alive.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that prophecy, you would then see to say after Rome would be divided. They would be ten different states. The prophecy didn't end there, but now we are living in the time whereby there is no other kingdom after. The next kingdom is Christ's second coming. And when you link the time we are living in with the events that are happening, natural events, political events, then you can see and have confidence that truly we are going home soon.
All right. Yes. So you were addressing the next question?
Yes. So what caution did Jesus give us? When we, you know, Jesus instructed us, like we saw in Matthew 24. He says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So, my brother, there are two clues that we are getting from Matthew 24 that clearly come to mind in this verse that Jesus wants to warn us. People have been waiting, as you're saying, for 2,000 years, 3,000 years for Jesus to come back. It's a long time for us human beings. And I know people are getting tired of waiting, but that doesn't mean Jesus has left us high and dry with a little promise and no evidence, no indication that he intends to fulfill it. But on the contrary, we have so much evidence, as I've stated in the prophecies, that he is in the process of delivering on his promise. You know, the longest time prophecy began in 457 BC, and it ended in 1844, and it lasted for 2,300 years. And after 1844, there is no longer time prophecy. So Jesus is not waiting. He hasn't said from 1844 to say there will be another 100 years or 200 years, whereas you say 3,000 years. No. Jesus is not waiting for that. From 1844, Jesus is waiting for the lukewarm church to awake. He's not waiting for 50 more earthquakes, though they will come. He's not waiting for pestilences, though they will come. He's not waiting for the mark of the beast, though it will come. He is waiting for people that are committed, that are ready to go home. So this world is not in the hands of human beings. It is in the hands of God. And we can face this future with great confidence, my brother. Soon Christ will come, and the rock that was cut out without hands will smite that image, which is the kingdoms of this earth. And the kingdoms of this earth will crumble. And God will usher in his eternal, everlasting kingdom. Have confidence in that. You can have confidence in this God. You can trust in God. You can rest securely in his hands. Don't doubt him. He's calling you today. He's calling me. He's calling the listeners today, my brother. He's inviting us to come today. And he's appealing to our hearts right now. Trust in me. Though you might be going through those tribulations. So that's the question that our listeners, that God is giving to them. To say trust in him, he's given enough evidence that he is coming soon.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Now, my elder, what are your closing touch-up lines literally in the next minute in as far as this very important study is concerned?
You know, my brother, there's many things that are happening in this world. There are many, many things that the governments of this world are implementing and doing. But the conclusion of this is obvious. These signposts of the prophecies that we've looked at, they are directly pointing to Jesus' return to this earth for the second time. And it won't be long until Jesus will come, and he will sweep away sin, and he will sweep away suffering, and he will establish his everlasting kingdom. So be strong, my brothers and sisters, because the time is near.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Be strong because the time is near. Elder Calvary, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you, my brother, and to our listeners.
Thank you very much.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.